There it is. First of all, let's push the Bible to the side just for now. Okay. He accuses us of making logical fallacies, jumping to conclusions, interpreting Bible verses wrong. He just straight up misrepresented what abortion is. Just to decide for a little bit, okay? He said a miscarriage is an abortion.
Oh, no.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Let It Be Heard, where we are Jews of the Word, not hearers only. I'm your host, Jaden Hurd, and today we got a special video. We're going to be having Abby Johnson join the show. I'm super excited for that. But before that, we're going to be reacting to this video where this guy claims that the Bible made him pro-choice. You'll see. And then we're going to conclude with making fun of some leftist infighting regarding the Palestine protests across the country. It's going to be a good one. Stay tuned. All right, guys, we have this pro-choice Christian who said that the Bible actually made him pro-choice, and he's going to give biblical evidence for it, and we're going to analyze it and see if we can refute his biblical arguments. Check it out.
I used to be pro-life and changed my mind to being pro-choice because of the Bible and a super conservative evangelical seminary course I was in. So it all starts with the seminary class in like super conservative evangelical seminary. It is an ethics class. We're supposed to argue pros and cons, have a debate on different issues. Nobody was doing on the abortion issue would sign up for the pro-choice side. I said I'd do it, and the professor was like, just so you know, when Jeremy gives these arguments, it is not because he believes them, but because we are doing this exercise for academics. And then we got like a week to do some research and prepare the arguments. Now, let's be clear. I like to win at games like this, so I wasn't just gonna try to prop the other side up and make it easy for the pro-life people to win, because at the time I thought of myself as a pro-life person. I knew that their argument was going to be based on scripture, and that was the thing. They were going to value the Bible above everything else, and any sort of claim I made that was not biblical was not going to really matter to them. So I dove into the Bible. I dove into the scriptures that people claim to support pro-life. Guess what I discovered? The Bible really doesn't have a good basis for it being pro-life. I actually discovered all these videos like God knows the hairs on your head, all of these different Bible verses. I dove into them, and none of them are really talking about like life or the beginning of life. They're all talking about something else, or are like a poem, or you know, like really like figurative speech and metaphor, and you can't use those things as sort of displaying any amount of like objective.
Pause it real quick. Okay. First fallacy is here. It's like he's assuming that poems and metaphors don't have an idea behind them. Okay. There's a purpose behind them. They're expressing an idea. For example, David and a lot of authors in the Old Testament use a lot of hyperbole, but at the same time, while the hyperbole itself may not be true, it was to get across a true idea. I'll give you guys an example. I knew you before you in your mother's womb, right? Before you in your mother's womb, I knew you, right? I formed you, right? These are true statements by God, okay? And simply expressing an idea that, hey, look, you existed in my mind. I knew you beforehand, okay? And in the womb, I was crafting you, like, right? Like, I think the Bible says my frame was not hidden from you. So these are things that are very clear. God at least gives value to that person in the womb, okay? Meaning you can't just kill that person. Like that's just like basic common sense, but also biblical, okay? If God values a life in the womb, obviously the Bible is going to be pro-life, right? I mean that's very simple. The basis for pro-choice or at least pro-abortion people is that human beings have value outside of the womb. Now, depending on what stage of development, some of them, you know, they may disagree. Some of them believe at heartbeat. Some of them believe at first breath. Some of them believe at, I don't know, brain functionality, you know, or what's it called? A viability, you know? There are different stages where people have their value, but the Bible gives humans value in the womb. We know that for sure, 100%. So while David may be using a metaphor, maybe he's writing poetry, it's still getting across the same idea as we're trying to say. God values preborn humans in the womb. I'm not sure what he's trying to say on this. Even the pro-choice passages that they point at itself has hyperbole, has metaphors, has its own meaning behind it. But anyway, I'll let him keep going. Go ahead.
Terms that you're supposed to use for other things. Then I find out that in the Old Testament, which is where you know all of these things are, they didn't believe that life started at conception. They believed that life started with the first breath.
Oh, no.
The
pause.
The new.
Oh my gosh! So he just accused us of taking a passage and running with it. I'm presuming the ones I just quoted. And then he goes to when God breathes into Adam specifically, he specifically breathes into Adam and he says that life starts at first breath, right? And he's going to use his basis for, his biblical basis for, or not, I'm sure he's going to have other things, but that's not true. Like just because the Bible said that doesn't mean that that's the case for all people. Okay. First of all, the Bible doesn't say that life starts at first breath. That's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says that God breathed into Adam. Okay, he breathed life into him. Okay, that's all it said. And are we going to use this same, how do you say, justification for Eve? Because how did Eve get life? Eve was taken from the rib of Adam. So are women, does life start differently for women than for men? Okay, if we're going to apply Adam to all people, let's apply Eve to all, I'm sorry, Adam to all men, let's apply Eve to all women, okay? Eve, her life started from the rib. So is the woman's life not started until her rib is developed? Is that the case? Also, notice the fact that Adam was not born, okay? He wasn't born, by the way. Neither was Eve. Eve was not born, okay? Neither of these people were developed. They were created as full-fledged humans, okay? They didn't grow. They didn't start as children and then grow up. They didn't go through that development stage. They were born as male and female adults, or not born, created as. See, I'm even getting stuck into this pro-choice stuff. They were created as fully-fledged male and female adults. I mean, how do we know this? Because they were fruitful and multiplied. How do we know this? Because they were able to look over the animals and stuff like that. And we also, you kind of look at the age of them. I mean, they died at like hundreds of years old. So like these folks was not children, okay? And so my point is, and then even they had kids. And you would think that then the Bible would say, okay, now life starts at like first breath for all these people. But it doesn't say that anywhere. It doesn't say that. You're taking a single thing that happened and then applying a idea of it or what the Bible approves of. Like, for example, it's like there was mass murder in the Bible. But there was mass genocide by nations to other nations. Does that mean God approves of that? No. Okay? Anyway, keep going.
That, like, breath was the source of life, and so nothing was alive until it breathed.
The Bible says that life is in the blood, okay? First of all, okay? Like, this is the Old Testament concept and the New Testament concept. Very clear, right? The reason why life is in the blood, because for there to be atonement, first of all, in the Old Testament, there had to be shedding of blood. And it was believed that just a drip of blood was not enough. Okay, but that you had to actually kill whatever it was for a sacrifice. That's why Abraham offered his only son. That's why God offered his only son. Notice how Jesus' blood washes us from sin, but it's not because he got pricked by the little needle at the doctor's office, but it would cost him his life, okay? So blood is life, right? Life is in the blood, the Bible says. It has nothing to do with breath. I don't know where he's getting that from. That must be some tradition from the Jewish people, But again, we're not basing our arguments on what Jews believe, are we? We're basing it on, you said the Bible made you pro-choice. So let's hear some Bible verses, not some ideas. Go ahead.
Which throws all of the pro-life stuff for a real big loop. And then I find out.
Is he going to quote Numbers?
I find this passage in Numbers, the end of Numbers chapter 5. Numbers, yes! Is a book in the Old Testament. End of Numbers chapter 5, where when a woman is caught in the act of adultery or suspected of adultery.
So we're going to go to this passage. 1 second. We're going to cut it. I'm going to get my Bible. 1 second. Okay. All right. We found the passage in Numbers 5. And let's see what this guy's going to say. I already know this argument. Go ahead. Just play the video.
Then brings her to the temple, yep. And the priest in the temple mixes some sand, the sand into some water, and it is called the water that brings the curse. And when you mix the special sand with the water, the woman drinks it. If she's pregnant, it causes her to miscarry, which is abortion.
No, it's not. Pause it.
It was
so there it is. There it is. There it is. First of all, let's push the Bible to the side just for now. Just for now. Okay. He accuses us of making logical fallacies, jumping to conclusions, interpreting interpreting Bible verses wrong. He just straight up misrepresented what abortion is. Just for a little bit, okay? He said a miscarriage is an abortion. Oh, no. So I'm going to now move my laptop over here, and I'm going to open Google. So I'm going to type in my password, and we're going to look up Google. Google. And my friends, I get it. Google is not the basis for truth. But it's very easy for him to do this. What is an abortion? This comes from Oxford Languages. It's the first thing that came up. I don't know if you guys can see, but look, I mean, it's just the first thing to come up. I'm just going to read it from the Google search that I did. Abortion is the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy, most often performed during the first 28 weeks of pregnancy. So, or the second definition is an object or undertaking regarded by the speaker as unpleasant or badly made or carried out, which obviously that's not what we're talking about. So, anyway, and then it has under here similar, has termination, miscarriage, feticide, stuff like that. Now, let's look at what miscarriage, the definition of miscarriage is. You're going to notice how abortion again was, where is it? Sorry. Abortion again, just so you guys know, is the deliberate termination of human pregnancy. Okay. Miscarriage, same source, Oxford Languages. The expulsion of a fetus from the womb before it is able to survive independently, especially spontaneously or as the result of an accident. The second definition, an unsuccessful outcome of something planned. So, it's the unsuccessful outcome of something planned. So, you planned to have the baby, but the unsuccessful outcome is a miscarriage. Okay, that's what a miscarriage is. Whereas abortion is you planned to kill the child and the successful outcome is the child dies. So essentially, miscarriage and abortion are opposites. This guy either lied, which I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he just didn't know that. So again, I assume the best of people. He just is wrong about this in the first place. So already his foundation is completely crumbled. And now we're going to get into what actually happened in Numbers 5 after his summarization. So let's see what he says. Go ahead.
Directed by God.
Okay, pause.
And it was part of their...
Yeah, pause. So yeah, so whatever. So the miscarriage was performed by God is what he's claiming. So sorry, go ahead.
Their religion. And that was it. Because...
No.
When it comes to came to my modern perspective in the modern world, doctors really should make those kinds of calls and should figure out what, like, once there's not a biblical basis for being anti-abortion, it was just a very, very short time from that revelation to me really coming to the place of, like, saying no.
You can cut that off. All right, I think the rest of that is yap, yap, yap. He completely butchered this passage, first of all. So he made a few claims. He first claim he made was that this is part of their religion. This was a one-off occurrence, okay? this was not part of their religion. This isn't, like, something that, like, just happens every day in Judaism, okay? Now, this happened more than once, obviously, because the same context of this tells you this is what to do. But, I mean, this isn't just, people aren't just out here performing abortions in Jewish culture, in Hebrew culture, in Numbers, okay? When Moses is writing this, okay? So, first of all, let's just get that out of the way. Second of all, this wasn't someone who was necessarily pregnant. Oh, you guys are shocked. Yeah, this guy isn't right. So if you go to the Hebrew and really dive into it, this woman was most likely actually just made infertile, wasn't actually made to miscarry. But I'm going to give that argument first, and then we're going to address it if she actually was miscarried, okay? So let's just read it, okay? So we're going to read Numbers chapter 5, verse 11. We're going to start from verse 11. And it's going to be pretty lengthy, but we're going to read it, okay? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully toward him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, it is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there was no witness against her, nor was she caught. If the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself, then the man shall bring his wife to the priest. He shall bring the offering required for her, one-tenth of an ephah, whatever that is, of barley meal. And he shall pour no oil on it and put no frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy, an offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it into the water." So this is what that guy was talking about with the sand and the water. that's a good way of putting it, actually. "Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembering in her hands, which is the grain offering for jealousy. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings a curse, and the priest shall put her under oath, and to say to the woman, if no man has lain with you and you have not gone astray to uncleanness while your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defiled yourself and some man other than your husband has lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under the oath of a curse, and he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people. When the Lord makes your thigh rot and your belly swell, and may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot. And the woman shall say, amen, so be it." Let's pause right there. So the context of this is a woman. Just any woman, by the way, not a pregnant woman, by the way, any woman who lies with another man, and the man, it literally says that he may not know whether or not she did it or not, but he has a spirit of jealousy that's come upon him, right? He may not even know whether or not she actually did it. So she's obviously not pregnant in this situation, okay? She's obviously not pregnant, because if she was pregnant, he would know that she cheated on him. Very clear. Unless they were having sex as well. But, I mean, come on. Let's be real here, okay? She's most likely not pregnant in this situation, because this is a general thing. It also says that this may be a curse upon her belly, right? Again, implying that she's just made infertile, not necessarily that she's having a miscarriage. That's, like, the context of this so far. Let's keep reading, though. Verse 23. Then the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall scrape them off from bitter water. And he shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings a curse. And the water that brings a curse shall enter into her and to become bitter. Then the priest shall take the grain offering of jealousy from the woman's hand, shall wave the offering before the Lord to bring it to the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering as its memorial portion, burn it on the altar, and afterward make the woman drink the water. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall be, if she has defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully toward her husband, that the water that brings the curse will enter her and become bitter, and her belly will swell, her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then she shall be free and may conceive children. My friends, it's simple. She's just made infertile. It says that she shall be free and may conceive children. She's not pregnant, okay? Again, it depends on the translation you read and what Hebrew, but if you go to the Hebrew, I'm reading a New King James Version. Go to a Septuagint, go to a Greek Septuagint. It is so clear. The woman is just simply made infertile. She's not made to miscarry. She's not given an abortion on the spot, because this is where they get that from. So again, it says here that she has not defiled herself, she is clean and she shall be free and made to conceive children. So let's get into the real nitty-gritty of it. This is the law of jealousy. When a wife, while under her husband's authority, goes astray and defiles herself, or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon a man and he becomes jealous of his wife, then he shall stand the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute all his law upon her. Then a man shall be free from iniquity, but that woman shall bear her guilt. So they'll say right there, if she's guilty, then that means she gets a miscarriage. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if she's pregnant. But so this guy has either lied or he's just straight up ignorant about this passage. And it's one of the most common passages used. And if you look on the comments of that TikTok, it's so sad. There's like 3,000 comments. All of them are saying, thank you so much for showing me this. Thank you so much. And it's very sad because a lot of these people are just finding reasons to support. They're trying to line up their Christianity with their lies, right? And the Bible says, professing to be wise, they became fools, right? And that's what happened to this gentleman, okay? Now, let's assume, let's forget everything I just said. Forget all the evidence I just gave you. We just read the whole thing in context. So he either lied about it or he's deceived. We just read it in context. But let's give him everything. Let's give him all of it. Let's give him it, okay? Let's just say, let's go even further. Let's just say God performed an abortion on the woman because she defiled her husband. Let's just say that. What gives you the right then to play God and perform an abortion on your child? Okay? Just because something happens in the Bible performed by God does not give humans the excuse to do it. If God floods the entire earth, you don't have permission to flood the entire earth. Okay, this is just basic common sense. You want to know why? Because you're not God. You're made in his image, absolutely, but that doesn't mean you have his authority, okay? This is very simple stuff. And so the things that he accused the pro-life community of doing, he's doing himself, and it's sad, okay? I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to overwhelm you guys' information. But in summary, okay, he's completely wrong on what abortion is, first of all, what a miscarriage is. He's completely wrong on what the passage itself even said. And he's completely wrong about the interpretation or application of the passage itself, okay? And with that, I say you just got owned, okay? There's no more to say. There's no more to say. But I'm going to put my Bible away. We're going to move on. I am so excited, my friends. We have a very special guest, Abby Johnson. I'm so excited for this. We're going to get into it with her, but I hope you guys enjoyed this segment and yeah, but that was crazy. Anyway, let's move on. Americans have had enough of supporting companies that are woke. Are you guys tired of compromise? It's time to switch over to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/herd or call 972-PATRIOT. Again, that is patriotmobile.com/herd or 972-PATRIOT. When you use the code HERD, you get a free activation when you switch over. Join us. Make the switch today, my friend. Stop fighting the left. Fund causes that want to fund causes that you support. So patriotmobile.com/herd for free activation. But anyway, my friends, we have an exciting segment to this show. We have my friend Abby Johnson joining us. Abby, I am so honored to have you on the show. You're obviously your story has been life changing for probably millions of people. You know, I'll be liberal and I'll be conservative and say thousands. But seriously, like, you know, I've seen your movie Unplanned. It was great. And then you went and left that abortion clinic, I believe Planned Parenthood, and then you ended up eventually becoming radically anti-abortion. And I think you started, founded the organization, and then There Were None, right?
Right. Yep.
Right.
And I did. Yeah. That was in 2012. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so most people know your story, but I guess it just maybe in like a 30 seconds to a minute, you can kind of explain for some people in the audience may not know. So who is Abby Johnson and what happened?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. I worked at Planned Parenthood from 2001 to 2009, so 8 years. Got involved as a college kid, didn't know anything about Planned Parenthood, didn't really know anything about abortion. Grew up in a conservative home, but we just didn't talk about abortion. You know, it's just kind of a different time. And worked my way up, became a director. Got involved believing I was doing the right thing, believed that I was helping women, right? And eventually was called in to assist with an ultrasound guided abortion. Ultrasounds are not typically used during the abortion procedure. And I witnessed a live abortion of a 13-week-old baby. And I saw that baby fighting and struggling for his life against the abortion instruments. And I'd never seen anything like that before. To my knowledge, an abortion like that had never been performed at my facility. And I knew then that there was life in the womb, that there was humanity in the womb, that this was not choice, that this was not reproductive justice, this was not healthcare, that what I had witnessed was the deliberate, it was the intentional destruction of an innocent human life. And we have a word for that in our country. It's called murder. And I knew that's what I had witnessed. And that was it. You know, that came along with huge ramifications, right? Because during that time, I'd also had two abortions of my own. And so I had to really come to terms with the fact that I had murdered two of my own children and had been complicit, had been participatory in over 22,000 abortions during my 8 years at Planned Parenthood. And, you know, that's a big burden to bear. That's a lot of sin to carry. That's a big weight. But that eventually led me back into a relationship with Christ. And, you know, I'd grown up knowing the Lord and loving him and came into a saving relationship with him when I was 8 years old, but had actively walked away from him when I was in college. And so coming back into the arms of the Lord was really what healed me. And and I've been just kind of fighting this battle, you know, awkwardly, I guess, for the past 14 years and doing some things right and some things wrong and hopefully more right than wrong now since I have been doing it for so long. But God just continues to, you know, reveal things, I think, to all of us. And I, you know, I hope that the things that I do just bring honor to him and help redeem some of that time that I spent in the abortion industry.
Right. That's cool. I like the, you know, I also like how they painted that kind of story in the movie where like you kind of grew up in the Christian household and then straight away, obviously got into the abortion clinic, you know, I heard somewhere that you, did you like join like a church that was pro-abortion, I think, or something like that?
Yeah,
I
don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, so I grew up Baptist, mm-hmm. and Southern Baptist, obviously Southern Baptists are not for abortion, when I started working at the abortion clinic, I was like, well, this isn't going to work. I mean, I knew I still needed to go to church, right? That was a habit that was formed for me. Like I still need to go to church, even though I'm working at the abortion clinic. And so I was going to church, and one Sunday at this Baptist church I was going to, they said that they were going to go and pray out in front of the abortion clinic where I worked. And I was like,
no way. Wow.
Like, this isn't going to work for me. So then we went to another church. When that church found out that I worked in the clinic, they were like, you can't come here anymore. And which I don't think that's the way to go either. Right. I mean, like, I think we need to, obviously we need to minister to sinners. Right. So I was like, oh, okay, well, so I need to find a pro-choice church. And that exists. That sounds like an oxymoron, but that exists within the American Episcopalian Church.
Oh, yeah.
And the Episcopalian Church, it makes people mad when I say it, but it is just the truth. The American Episcopalian Church is incredibly pro-abortion. It's in their national doctrine. It's on their website. They support abortion in any and all cases. Any reason is a good reason for abortion.
And LGBT according and to all them. That other stuff too.
Yeah, and they, I mean, look, when I worked at Planned Parenthood, the head of their church, which is a bishop, the head of the Episcopalian Church is a bishop. At that time, it was a woman. Which, red flag.
Just a red flag all over the place.
Yeah, it was a woman named Catherine Ragsdale. Catherine Ragsdale, at that time, was the head bishop of the Episcopalian Church and also was the head of NARAL, our country's largest abortion rights group. So this is not a secret. They are also the Episcopalian Church is also one of the largest donors to the RCRC. The RCRC is the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. So they pay for Christian women to get abortions. You can go fact check that at rcrc.org. Almost all of the people I went to church with were donors to Planned Parenthood. I knew them. So they loved it that, you know, that I was there. They loved that I was part of their congregation. I mean, look, I was in the choir. I was like a big time part of the church. My daughter was baptized Episcopalian. And so we were in it. And the one thing I will say about the Episcopalian Church is that they do community really well. And so they're really good at drawing people in to their church.
Before moving on with your testimony with that, I have a quick question about this.
Yeah.
So, man, like when you say you're in a choir and like I'm sure like their processes of church is pretty similar to most churches. You know, you have worship, mm-hmm. and then you have like the sermon and then communion and, you know, whatever. I'm just like, okay, but like you're sitting there, like they're sitting there worshiping Jesus or whatever. Like they're sitting there like reading their Bibles. There's a sermon. Usually there's worship. How do they get around? Like, you're like there for like an hour or so, probably longer. Yeah. I'm just like, how do these churches get around those scriptures that are just obvious? Like not just abortion, but just like sin overall. Like, I don't know how you just get around stuff like that. Like I go to a church now and I'm just like, sin is mentioned every Sunday. And like, I don't know how it's not mentioned every Sunday, you know, like how do they?
Yeah. But Jaden, that is even in Baptist churches today, even in so many, I would say the majority of churches in the United States, even good churches, are so rarely talking about sin. I mean, absolutely. The fact that you're in a church is talking about sin is beautiful, but there's so rarely churches nowadays, pastors don't want to talk about sin because they don't want to alienate their congregation. And, you know, as people say to me all the time, Christian women, no Christian woman can have an abortion. I'm like, of course they can. Christian women are having abortions all the time. They're having abortions every day. One of the reasons Christian women are having abortions is because they don't even know it's a sin.
Correct.
They're being told, there are so many Christian women who are sitting in churches every single Sunday that are being told by their pastor that, and this is what we were told in the Episcopalian church, that life does not begin until first breath. Because in Genesis, it says that God breathed life into Adam. Yeah, and so
we
that gives,
like Adam.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's what they say. That's what they use. They completely dismiss, you know, Psalm where it says we were created in our mother's womb. They don't talk about those verses. So they can dismiss those other verses. They don't even talk about them. They pretend like they don't exist. And so in the Episcopalian church, in so many churches, I would say the overwhelming majority of churches in our country today, it's all about being a good person. And it's all about feeling like a good Christian. But we're not talking about God being a just God. We're not talking about sin. We're not talking about the repercussions of sin. And most pastors do not want to talk about hell. I mean, most pastors do not want to talk about what eternity is going to be like for those who do not have an active relationship with the Father. And they want to pretend like it, you know, it's just about being good or about being nice or about being involved in the church potluck once a quarter or being on the building committee or whatever, or singing in the choir. Nobody's talking about these eternal consequences of sin.
Correct.
And that's the problem. I mean, look, we had women, I tell people this all the time, Jaden, we had women that were sitting in the waiting room of our abortion clinic, reading their Bibles, looking for scriptural justification for their abortion. We had women asking us to pray for them before we started their abortion procedure while they're lying on the table. And we would. Mm. We had, women, Catholic women. I mean, there's nobody more clear than the Catholic Church on the sin of abortion. Right?
I'll give that to y'all. Absolutely.
Okay. 100%. Right. I mean, I don't think there's any Protestant that can say that Catholics have not been leading from the front on the issue of abortion. Okay.
Absolutely.
There'd be women on the table, blood pressure cuff on this arm, holding a rosary in this hand.
Man.
But we're all failing. We're all failing from the pulpit in regards to addressing sin and addressing eternal consequences from our unrepentant sin and our unrepentant hearts.
Absolutely. I've said this on the show so many times. You know, this show is called Let It Be Heard, where we analyze culture and social issues, current events from a biblical perspective. But ultimately, that's the substance of the whole show, is the Bible, right? So,
yeah.
And that should be the substance of culture, of school, of church, obviously. Yet, for some reason, we've strayed from that, and we've chosen to choose a secular way to handle this issue, or a secular way to address different cultural issues. For example, the church, right? They'll, like you said, they might even mention some sort of sin, like, oh, you're not being kind to someone else. That's just, which is okay, sure. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. You need to be kind to one another. But what about when the Bible says that you need to not have sex out of wedlock? Or a lot of people show up to church and the night before, you know what I'm saying, they went to the bar and they had a little bit too much to drink.
Yeah, they got drunk.
And why hasn't the pastor preached on 1 Corinthians 6:9? You know, or not be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Spirit. You know, so like, churches do a bad job in that. Is like, church should just be Sunday. It should be Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday as well. Okay, it should be every day of the week, not just on Sunday. Okay, for Catholics, for example, since I guess that's mainly your audience, you know, you don't take the Eucharist on Sunday, and then the following Saturday you don't take the Eucharist times 100,000 as far as alcohol goes. No, like you take the Eucharist. You know, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like
so here's one of my biggest pet peeves with Catholic culture, Jaden, and this is just, here we go, Abby Catholic off the cuff. Okay, one of my biggest pet peeves with Catholic culture is drunkenness, and
Have you been to like a Turning Point conference or something like that?
Well, I know.
Sorry.
But I know. But I go to events and they're like, you know, oh, do you want wine? You want wine? You want wine? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Because my husband's sober. So he's been sober for 3 years. We don't drink. And people are like, oh, but we're Catholics. It's a Catholic event.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I get it, but we don't participate in that sort of Catholic culture. Why is that? Why is it that if you go to a Catholic event, the expectation is that everybody's going to be drunk and rowdy, right?
You know, there's kind of that same thing in all, like for example, like some denominations are just known more for being, for cursing, for like cussing a lot, you know. Some denominations are like, why is it like, oh, we know why, because pastors aren't preaching on it, but like, there, every denomination, and then the Catholics and whoever else, the Baptists, they all are known for like their one thorn in the flesh or their one sin, you know what I'm saying? It's so like, shouldn't you be known for holiness and obedience,
right?
And not totally sin,
totally,
you know.
But I mean, this is the thing. This is why this has happened, Jaden. I think you will agree with this because you just kind of said it. We have secularized our churches. We've secularized the conservative movement. Yes. The conservative movement was not based on secular ideas. The conservative movement was based on Judeo-Christian ideas. But now you go to these big events. The first time I ever heard you was at one of those big conservative events. You were the only person in that entire night that got up on stage and mentioned the name of God. That event raised millions and millions and millions of dollars, the most money I've ever seen be raised at an event.
Abby, I almost passed out of my table. Like, how much money? Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Not one mention of the Lord Jesus Christ until you got up on the stage. And you're a student. The only reason that you even got up there was because you won their student leader award or whatever. Not one mention from their founder and president. Not one mention from any of the donors that stood up there. Not one mention. Because that entire group has secularized themselves. The person that's running for president, completely secular. Okay. Let's not even pretend. Okay. That he's a man of faith. Okay.
But Abby, we have the USA Bible now. We have the God Bless America Bible.
I mean, you can get as many black people as you want to around him and lay hands on him and pray for him. That does not mean he is a man of God. Okay. Like, just cut it out. People are always like, Abby, oh, but Abby, I'm not voting for a pastor. I'm voting for a president. Well, you know what? Maybe we need a pastor up in here. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that is the problem with this country. Amen. Is that we are so devoid of Christ in the White House. We're so devoid of Christ in the halls of Congress. Maybe that is why we're in the crap storm we're in right now, because we do keep using these excuses, these justifications. We now have a man that is known for adultery. We have a man that is known for immorality. And instead of going, we should have a higher standard, we go, we're not voting for a pastor, guys. We're not voting for a pastor. It's fine. We're not voting for... But didn't you see all these people around him praying for him? Didn't you know that Paula White is his spiritual advisor? Give me a break. Like, first that all, should be the first red yeah. flag. Yes. Like, yes. what are we doing? And everybody's willing to stand around and go, abortion's murder, abortion's murder, abortion's murder. Until it's an election year. Now abortion is something we're willing to compromise on?
And just segueing into that, we're seeing not only the big man, the big boss, compromise on abortion, but you got Carrie Lake out of Arizona now. I mean, I've been all over her comment section. And then you got like other GOP candidates all across the country compromise on abortion. And these are some reasons. I wrote down some reasons why they'll compromise on it. So they'll say abortion is a losing issue, which we'll get into. They'll say, oh, we need votes. We need to appeal to moderates. And then some voters, genuine pro-life voters who believe that that abortion is murder from conception, they'll say, oh, well, they're just saying this. And then once they get in office, they'll be 100% pro-life.
Yeah, okay? Right. Mm-hmm. So we always see that. That historically, that's what we always see, Jaden. Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's not totally. Just... That's not just only for you guys watching who don't even care about abortion for real. Who maybe your issue is illegal immigration. They're not good on this either. Like, they don't keep their promises on this stuff either. So why do you keep anyway? But abortion is a losing issue. For example, is the main talking point. You know, they'll say this. Okay, my friends, and Abby, you can chime in too. Donald Trump ran on appointing pro-life justices in 2016 and won by a landslide and appointed justices that ended up overturning Roe v. Wade. And you mean to tell me abortion is a losing issue? He was more pro-life in 2016 than he is now. And he's losing now. And he was winning in 2016. How does that... I don't understand how that correlates there. But
it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense, number one. Number two, I don't care if it's a losing issue.
I was going to ask
it's
that.
It's a gospel issue.
Right.
This is a Jesus issue. You know what? Jesus died on the cross. The mess anybody would say when Jesus was alive, I bet the apostles were like, dude, what you're saying, it's a losing issue. They're about to crucify you over it. Like, just to let you know, you might want to shut your trap, because you're about to hang on a cross and it's a loser. Okay, it's a loser. So just like, cut it out, right?
100%.
Jesus's message that he was proclaiming, it was a losing issue, but he didn't shut up about it. He died for it. He died for all of us. He sacrificed himself for all of us for a losing issue, quote unquote, correct. Right? Correct. But he did it so that we could all win. Okay. I see this as the same sort of principle. Even if the world says this is a losing issue, then I'm willing to lose. Okay? I'm willing to lose for the next 15, 20, 25, 50 years. I'm willing to lose because I know that I am standing on godly principles. And that is a win. That's a win. And here's the deal. In all honesty, and pro-lifers do not want to hear this. Okay, I'm going to say it right now. They don't want to hear it, and they hate when I say it. Okay? Uh-oh. I'm not worried about the eternal souls of these babies. Yes, I want every baby to be born. Yes, I want every baby to be born and for their lives to be full of potential and their lives to be lived out to that full potential, 100%, okay? Mm-hmm. I want abortion to end. Yes, 100%. But I'm not worried about the souls of these children, because I know at the end of the day, every single one of these children, they're going to live their lives out in heaven.
100%.
And so I'm not worried about that.
But By the way,
I am more.
For you guys who may have some issue with that, that's biblical. Okay, that is actual Bible. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a child. Okay.
Yes.
And also the child has done nothing wrong. Like the child hasn't sinned against anyone. So obviously God's not going to punish him for anything. So
that
would be where Abby would get that from. So, but sorry, go ahead, Abby. Sorry.
I'm not saying, well, then there shouldn't be a problem with abortion because they're all going to heaven. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's still murder.
Right.
Right. It's still murder. It's still wrong. No matter what, it's still a sin, even though the children's souls are at peace with the Lord, right? What I'm worried about is our culture. What I'm worried about is the people who are actually committing the murder. I'm worried about their soul. I'm worried about the ones who are working the clinics. I'm worried about these women. I'm worried about what happens to a culture that is willing to devalue and murder its most innocent, right? Because that creates a natural dehumanization sort of effect in our culture. And we're already seeing that happen. Roe v. Wade promised to get rid of poverty, to get rid of child abuse. Every child a wanted child, right? It was going to strengthen the family, all this kind of stuff. It has done the exact opposite. What do we see now? Higher rates of poverty, higher rates of fatherlessness. Children, there are more children without a father than with a father in the home. Right. Higher rates of poverty, higher rates of child abuse, higher rates of divorce. Everything has skyrocketed since we have allowed legal abortion. Why? Because if you're willing to kill the most vulnerable person among you, then you're willing to harm anyone. And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
So we've seen this disordered society. We live in a very disordered society.
Right.
That's why we want to stop abortion. And so I think that's kind of where we're at. There's never been a time where we've elected someone who says, you know, I'm moderate on abortion, and then they've done a switcheroo when they've gotten in office, and all of a sudden they've been 100% pro-life. Never in history has that ever happened. For someone to believe that Trump is trying to pull the wool over moderate or liberals' eyes, and then all of a sudden he's going to get in office and be 100% pro-life, makes you look like a fool. That is not going to happen.
So I have a quick statement too. I mean, once you create a culture of death, I mean, why do you expect everything else to work out? Like you said, there's all this degeneracy that's kind of increased over the years. Of course, that's going to happen when you allow a culture to have legal killing of innocent human beings. I mean, look at history, okay? I talk about this all the time, but like the historical abolitionist movements of slavery, for example. I mean, they weren't out here saying, oh, we're going to vote for someone who's, you know, pro everything else, but also, but you know, pro slavery, you know what I'm saying? But I agree with them on everything else. No, the slave abolitionists stood on business, okay? They said it's got to go, okay? I mean, what's the guy's name? What's the guy's name out of the UK? What's his name? The abolitionist, the slave abolitionist. I can't even think of him right now. It starts with a W. William Wilberforce. Homeboy like fought for like 20 years until like his death day, and he put up the same bill, the same thing over every single session, same thing, no slavery, abolish it, and it didn't have no exceptions in it, it didn't have any compromises in it, even if it costed him whatever, even if he lost every single time. That's not what matters, ultimately. What matters is you're standing on principle, you're standing on Bible, you're standing on the gospel. And that's ultimately, if the pro-life movement did this, this is what I believe the vision of the pro-life movement should be. If we stood on Bible, if we returned back to Bible, our goal and accomplishments would be much easier to accomplish because, first of all, we know we'd be in good standing with God. And God's going to honor that. He'd honor that, absolutely, 100%. You know, he said that he came to give life and life more abundantly in John 10:10. You know, so I don't understand why we've secularized everything as far as not only the pro-life movement, but just the conservative movement as a whole. Like you said earlier, traditional values is what founded conservatism. You know, Christian, the Bible is what we all agree upon as far as conservative values, yet we've strayed from that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but even look at the conservative movement, though, Jaden. Like, we've got, you know, log cabin Republicans, right? We've got all of these, you know, homosexuality is now alive and well in the conservative movement. And not only, and look, I mean, if you want to be a gay Republican, be a gay Republican. Great. Okay. Like, come on in, whatever. But it's not just that. The conservative movement has given them a large platform. Okay. That's the difference.
They play identity politics, like just like the left does.
Just like the left. They're no different. No different. And so I used to be a person. I will admit this. This was when I said I've been like awkward in this movie. I mean, I have been. God has really revealed things to me over time. And I think part of it has been spiritual maturation and just growing closer to the Lord. And he's revealed so many things to me. You know, I used to believe wholeheartedly, and I've given talks about it, how, you know, when you vote, when you go to the ballot box, you have two choices and that's it. You either vote for the conservative guy, you vote for the supposedly conservative, you vote for the Republican. And if you don't vote for the Republican, if you vote third party, you're giving a vote to the Democrat. I used to really believe that. God has really revealed differently to me. And really, it's just been over the past like year and a half that, you know, you have to vote in the way that the Lord is telling you to vote.
100%.
And if that means that you are writing in a candidate, if that means that you are, you know, voting for someone else, if you're not voting for that typical, you know, that R candidate or whatever, then, and if that means that the Democrat wins, then that means the Democrat wins. But at some point in time, people are going to have to stand up and say, we're not going to choose the quote unquote lesser of two evils.
Right.
Because we're not going to choose evil anymore.
Yeah.
We are going to choose righteousness. And if that means that we continue to lose and lose and lose until people finally stand up and stand up for the Lord, and if that means we lose for the next 30 years and it has to get way worse before Christians finally come together and stand up and say, we're done, then that's what happens. Then that's what it takes. But I'm not going to violate my conscience, and I'm not going to violate scripture and violate the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to get an immoral candidate into office. I'm just not going to do it. I have done that pretty much, I mean, for the past few years.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do it. Since I have left the Democratic Party and have become Republican, the candidates I have voted for in the Republican Party have been terrible. And they have been immoral. And they have not lived up to the candidates that I believe that Christians should be voting for.
Absolutely.
And we have to turn that around, and only Christians can turn that around. I do believe we still live in a Christian nation. I don't believe these Gallup poll survey. Nobody's asked me. I mean, have you ever been asked by a surveyor? I don't know anybody. I literally have been going around during my talks, and I've been asking people in my talk, hundreds of people, thousands of people, right?
Right.
I go around every time and I ask them, raise your hand if you've ever been asked by a surveyor about your faith or about one of these pro-life, pro-choice polls. I have asked now tens of thousands of people. Not one person has raised their hand.
I'm curious, I don't know, we go to March for Life, how many people would raise their hand.
Right.
You know,
I don't know anybody ever that has been polled, that's been surveyed. So I believe that these polls are intentionally trying to tell us to give up. But I'm not going to give up. And you're not going to give up. And right. Most Christians I know, most solid pro-lifers I know, are not going to give up. But these large conservative and large pro-life organizations that are just saying, we're just going to throw it to the wind, and we're just going to vote for this for immorality, and we're just going to vote for this terrible candidate, we're just going to turn in our 30 pieces of silver. We're going to trade our vote for 30 pieces of silver.
That's it right there. That's
We've got to hold these people accountable.
That's good. That's so good. I've had the same conviction, actually, Abby. In 2020, I would have laughed at you, and I would have said, you're ruining our agenda. You're ruining it.
Me too.
But I actually, the church I joined, they don't vote. I mean, they'll vote if the candidate's solid, but like they don't vote. And I was like, why? Like I actually was taken aback. I'm like, bro, I'm the president of Turning Point on my campus. Like, for me to say this is kind of blasphemous because like I'm literally the guy on campus that like is trying to get people to, you know, and so I was like, what's going on? And then they broke it down, and the Bible breaks it down very simple. For you to condone evil is a sin, right? It's very clear. Like, and so I don't want to participate in that. And so, no, thank you. I'll be writing in Jesus Christ if I can't find a better candidate as far as any position, you know? So, Abby, last thoughts before we go. I don't want to keep you too long. Do you have anything else to say? And where can people find you, by the way?
Yeah. So, my website is abbyj.com. I have a podcast called Politely Rude. You can find it wherever. I have two ministries, and then there were none, and Pro-Love Ministries. You know, one is getting abortion workers out of the industry and getting them into a relationship with Christ. We've helped 700 people do that. And that ministry, then those workers have then turned around and have shut down 48 abortion facilities because of the knowledge and information they have. So that's been a beautiful thing. Pro-Love Ministries runs different pro-life projects. The one that most people know about is called Loveline. It's a 24-hour hotline for single parents that need assistance and for pregnant moms. And we provide comprehensive case management for people in need. And in the past 3 years, we provided case management for over 4,000 women. And that includes over 10,000 children. And it's, you know, it's not just about providing wipes and diapers and clothes. I mean, we do that too, but it's about changing their lives, and it's about bringing them to Christ, right, and allowing him to heal those deep internal wounds that they have. That's why we have licensed Christian counselors and things like that. And so it's been pretty amazing. God has been really good. I mean, it's, you know, it's not me, it's God, but we're just trying to be faithful and just be, you know, instruments in his hands, and he's done a lot of really amazing stuff. And I'm just, you know, traveling, doing what I can, but I also have 8 kids, so trying to steward that at home as well. So just loving it, just loving what I do. So
you got a whole church, you got a whole ministry at home.
That's right. I have a ministry at home, and I've got a great husband. So I, you know, the best thing that I do is to be a wife and to be a mother, but wouldn't have any of it without my husband. So,
right. I love that. Awesome. Well, Abby Johnson, everyone. I mean, that was amazing. I really appreciate you giving us your time, just giving your testimony, giving your thoughts on things, seeing some controversial stuff that's not popular, but I am totally on board with, first of all. But Abby, it was such an honor to have you. Thank you so much for giving me your time. And you guys go check her out. Go watch Unplanned if you haven't. Go show love, donate to her ministries, donate to her organizations, because she deserves it, because God's hand is all over it. So, Abby, thank you again for joining the show.
Thanks, Jaden.
Okay, so so we've all heard about the Palestine protests and stuff, and we've been seeing it all over the nation, UCLA, USC, everywhere. University of Alabama, Roll Tide, roll. So from the East Coast to the West Coast to North and South, all right? All these, you know, pro-Palestine, you know, students, have been taking the streets, you know, skipping finals, skipping class. Campuses are shut down. They canceled graduations, you know, and it's crazy out here, y'all. And it's actually kind of funny. I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm actually having a lot of fun because you're seeing the left eat their own. Okay, Joe Biden, this might cause Joe Biden. This might be the issue to cause Joe Biden to lose the election, which is actually hilarious. But what's funny is, according to like all these polls, this isn't even like the top 10 concern for voters is the Israeli-Palestine conflict. Like, you're seeing things like abortion, the economy, you know, stuff like that. All that stuff is, like, of concern. The border, obviously, you know, foreign policy even is more, like not necessarily just Israeli-Palestine, but just, you know, foreign trade and stuff like that. Like people just don't really care ultimately about this issue as much as people think they do. Like, as much as the media is trying to make y'all think. Like, according to polling, like, even Gen Z, bro, we don't really care about this stuff. Like, this be real. But anyway, man, I'm having a lot of fun. Are you guys having a lot of fun? We have an example here of this happening. We actually have three examples that I just randomly saw. I didn't look for this stuff, my friend. I don't know if you guys know. Half of this stuff I don't even look for, okay? It just pops up on my For You page, or Micah sends it to me, or, you know, lets me watch it, and I feel bad for him. But, man, it's so fun to see the left eat their own, because there's so much infighting in the Republican Party, the conservative movement, rightfully so, sort of, because most people in this movement suck, let's be real. But now it's finally good to see the other side crumble on its own head. And so we have a video right here from a protest at UCLA, and this guy who's holding the camera is obviously like a leftist by his language, okay? He is a obviously very pro-black, Black Lives Matter supporter, but he's just walking on through, and the Palestine people are just like, nah, bro, nah, you're not welcome here. Like, again, and we said this a few episodes ago, but my friends, it is not enough just to be black, okay, or oppressed, or left-wing black, okay? You got to check all the oppression boxes to be accepted by the left. You got to be gay, pro-Palestine, black, everything, okay? And you got to agree with everything, okay? It is not enough. The oppression Olympics, the victim Olympics, my friends, they're on like never before. And let me tell you, a lot of these people, they want to win gold, okay? Second place is not enough. So go ahead and cue this UCLA video so that we can watch this and react to it.
Problem, sir.
Yeah, here it is.
You said you had a problem, you right?
You do leave.
Bro, I'm an African American. You are a white man telling me to leave a part of the campus. Do you want me to go to Jasmine Rush and show her a photo of you, the dean of students, and let her know that you was harassing me?
Am I harassing?
Yeah, you are. You're asking me to leave a public place. You as a white man are asking an African American student to leave a public area at UCLA campus.
You can't
that's
tell
called
me this
racial discrimination, goal. And that's a violation of the Civil Rights Act. So do you want to get out of my face now?
I mean, I think your presence is on purpose.
What's that?
You're being an agitator.
I'm being
purpose.
An agitator. So you think the First Amendment is agitation?
No one. See, you're drawing lines that aren't there.
Okay, because I'm
drawing
I'm,
lines that
I'm practicing
there.
The First Amendment right.
And you're
to
allowed
record.
To do that.
Right. So I'm recording over here. Pause this guy's it. Recording me. You're not talking.
What's with all these masks? Like, why? It's like 90 degrees outside. You're in LA. It's summer, pretty much, or spring, whatever. And it's like, I mean, if it's hot here, I know it's hot over there. So what's with all these masks? And let me tell you guys, the masks aren't because they're afraid of COVID. It's, you know, they're ashamed. It's a whole thing. We just saw the last episode, the Marxist conference. All these Marxists had their masks on in 2024, mind you. And I'm just like, what's with the masks? Anyway, sorry. But you guys, look at like how the left is eating their own. These white men telling this black man to get off their property. Go somewhere else. Go back to where you came from. You know? I love this. This is so good. This is golden. And shout out to the guy who's holding the camera. Again, I don't agree with him on most of the things that he says in his video, but my friends, just sit back and enjoy. Just enjoy watching this. Go ahead, play it.
Him, look, he's recording me. You're not talking to him. You got people over here. You know,
they're
what
all
saying?
Just
I don't
sitting
see you
there
talking
too.
To them. You're
we
just
had any, we haven't had any complaints
right.
About
so
them
you're
being agitated,
right. Well, you're just so. Bothering me, bro.
We
you're
haven't
not,
had any complaints
okay.
About them being agitated.
I don't know
if
what
we get a complaint.
What,
we
so what's me. What's an agitator's
I don't
plan?
Have to tell you that.
Right, exactly. You can't yeah. Even explain yourself, bro.
I don't have to tell you that. You're trying to.
You're two white men. You're two white men blocking an African American student from walking around on the campus.
You're allowed to go wherever you want.
Where am I? I'm allowed to go where I want. You seem to be blocking my daughter's stroller.
Oh, he's walking his daughter.
Steal my drink. You just spilled my drink, and you're blocking my
better.
Child stroller from moving forward. That's a little weird, bro. You're acting a little
this
weird,
This is
bro.
Even better.
I mean, so. I think right now you're acting a little
nah,
bit weird.
You're going to have to get out of my face, bro. Sorry.
Right now, like, you know, you're making...
Yeah, you sure are following me, though.
I mean, right now,
you're following me. You're following me. You're sticking your hand in my face. You're putting your arms up over me. You're doing a lot of weird stuff, bro.
Sorry, man.
Why are you sorry? I don't know why you're sorry.
We've expressed.
Why are you sorry, bro?
What? You can stand on the outside of the encampment and film all you want.
Okay, Eric can stand here too.
Stand on the outside of the encampment and film all you want.
Yeah.
You can stand on the outside of the encampment.
Yeah. I can stand anywhere I want. Yeah. That's the good part about being a student. Bro, you know there's a 9% acceptance right here? So I had to work pretty hard. Yeah.
That's impressive.
I got into UCLA, 9% acceptance rate, so I can go where I want on this campus. Yeah.
Why are y'all blocking the camera? I got masks on.
Yeah. A student. I'm a student at UCLA. My name is Milagro Jones. Where are you?
How did you get in? I walked in. I'm a student at UCLA. I just said that.
We're going to ask you to
You don't know what Royce Quad is part of UCLA? As a student, that's what we do. We walk around our school, bro.
You didn't fly in here.
Right. Did I fly in here?
The kid is at it, too.
I'm politely asking you to step outside. I'm a student here. Are you? Do you work for UCLA? Because I know Jasmine Rush, the dean of students, would like to know why you're putting your hand in one of her students' faces.
That's great.
So we're going to have to get you identified, buddy. For harassing an African-American student at school.
This is golden, y'all.
What, is the school a little too integrated for you? What, you trying to segregate? You trying to resegregate the school or something?
Do you know why we're here now?
Look at these white liberals, bro. Look at these cosplayers. White liberals, white libs cosplaying as the oppressed, stopping an African-American student from accessing the school. Nothing new. Nothing new. Oldest time. Story oldest time. Nothing new. Nothing new. Nothing new. Yep. So do y'all think y'all will catch the RICO Act when this is all said and done, or how you think it's going to play out?
Explain to me what you think of RICO is.
You guys are organized crime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to ask you to leave again, man.
Yeah, you guys are working together to commit
a
crime.
Oh, yeah.
What's the crime?
So right now, you've assaulted multiple students. You've assaulted multiple community members, including myself. Which,
do you have any evidence?
Yes, I do. It was broadcast on CNN, Fox News, and it was broadcast on people over here.
Oh, my goodness.
And told y'all I was recording right there. These are the ones that ran off.
Hey, get him, guys. He's recording at the campus. Oh, my God. He has a phone, and he's practicing his First Amendment rights.
Oh, man. This is... So, oh, if that wasn't enough for you guys, I don't know what was. This sums up the devastation that's going on the left, okay? They don't know what to do. Because you can't... Imagine the headlines. Palestine protesters... kick out black student. Oh, man. I would write the headline myself. Man, what a great headline, you know? And I'm just saying, like, there's so many videos about this. There's so many students, leftist students, complaining about these students ruining their experience in college. And it's perfect. It's perfect. We're going to get into that later. But first, check out, again, this is another example of the left eating their own. And even Democrats saying, all right, you guys are going too far. Check out this mayor condemning this. This Democrat mayor, bro, this is golden. Check this out.
That's our flag, folks. Don't take over our buildings and put another flag up. That may be fine to other people, but it's not to me. My uncle died defending this country. And these men and women put their lives on the line. And it's despicable that schools will allow another country flag to fly in our country. So blame me for being proud to be an American. And I thank Commissioner Daughtry for putting that flag back up. We're not surrendering our way of life to anyone.
All right, so you seen that, and, you know, yeah. Okay, even, you know, it's bad when Democrat politicians are coming out and... like, yeah, bro, like, we should stop doing this. This is disgusting. Homeboy was talking about this is America. We stand for the American flag. He's starting to sound like me. These black Democrat politicians are starting to sound like me. And it sounds familiar to y'all. I mean, this does to me. I'm saying, y'all, this is not the issue for voters, but this is the issue for the left and for us making fun of it. Okay, it's amazing. I do believe it's a big enough issue to cause Joe Biden the election, but it's not the issue. You know what I mean by that? Like, the issue is, like, the border, is the economy, okay? That's the issue. So not only are minority groups complaining about this, not only are Democrat politicians complaining about this, but just your regular old college town girl who just wants to graduate is complaining about this. A generally leftist girl, by the way. She seems leftist, or at least moderately left. She seems normal. She just wants to graduate. And even the pro-Palestinian people are getting on her nerves, and she's had enough of it. Check out this TikTok from this girl at USC complaining about USC canceling their graduation over these protests. Check it out.
So USC just canceled our graduation.
Yes.
I literally...
By the way, pause it. I have no word. I'm not laughing at her. I feel bad for her, okay? Because as she'll say later on, I was the class of 2020, and so is she, in high school. And now I'm the class of 2024, and so is she. And so we didn't get a graduation in high school. So I genuinely do feel for her. But not to the point to where I can't enjoy all this. Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I can't. I'm having too much fun. Sorry. Okay, play the video. Yeah.
It's like, this is so... Like, it's actually comical at this point. If you don't know, the seniors that are graduating college right now are the seniors that graduated in 2020, where we didn't have a high school graduation, and a lot of us had, like, drive-through fake graduations or no graduation at all. And now, we are seniors about to graduate, getting ready for our first real graduation, and it just got canceled. I literally just, like, I just can't even... I'm in shock right now. As a whole senior class, have never had a real graduation because of COVID. First,
you pause it. Even COVID itself was a screw job. Okay, there was no reason why we should have canceled graduation over COVID, and there's definitely no reason why we should cancel graduation over some mad little children camping over something that's happened across the ocean that universities have nothing to do with. So she's right about that. Absolutely. Anyway, keep going.
Which we thought was like a one-time thing, like we're the class that got screwed over. It is what it is. Unlucky. Now, USC just canceled it. And of course, USC, we've all worked so hard to get here. USC, I'm sure you know, is not an easy school to get into. And so everyone that goes here is very accomplished, like had worked really hard to get in, and now they just canceled our freaking graduation. Like, what now? What now? They sent out an email 10 minutes ago about how they know it's disappointing, but they're canceling it, and they're going to have other fun events, which I don't even know what that means. Like, I understand that, like, a lot has been going on at USC right now with, like, protests and everything. I just feel like there could have been a different way to go about this than to cancel the entire graduation for a class that never even got a high school graduation either. Here's the part of the email right there that says, as a result, we will not be able to host the main stage ceremony that traditionally brings 65,000 students, families, and friends to our campus at the same time and during a short window from 8:30 to 10 a.m. We understand this is disappointing. Bullshit. Like, come on. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I would graduate high school and not have a graduation, get into USC, go all 4 years at USC and not have a graduation, I would have been like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense. But it happens, and now this is all of our seniors' lives. So, this sucks. I just had my last class ever, and right after I should be celebrating, just got the news that we have no graduation. So, now all my roommates are depressed, and we all literally were just sitting in the living room, like, in tears. But not much we can do about it, so we're gonna make the most of it, but ridiculous. Sucks.
Boy, oh boy. Man, I genuinely do feel bad for the USC students who had nothing to do with this stuff, who deserve a graduation. I mean, again, as a guy who just graduated from college literally like a week ago from this recording. No, like 3 days ago from this recording. My goodness. It felt like a week. I've been sleeping. Yeah, I mean, I feel that, man. I mean, I didn't really want to sit through the graduation, but looking at this makes me really like, hey, man, you know, I got a chance to walk. I got a chance to make my family proud. And my grandkids are going to have access to photos and videos of me walking across stage that the USC students are not going to have. And that's sad, you know, and I get that. All over something that literally does not matter. And this is just Palestine bogusness, okay? despite your feelings about this whole conflict, again, I'm not too educated on it. I know a little bit of details because a lot of my friends and the people at my church are very educated on it, and they usually tell me a lot of stuff, and I'm like, okay, cool. And I've heard a lot of stuff on both sides, but regardless, we are canceling graduations over something that has nothing to do with us at all, zero to do with us, and it's just wild to me, crazy. And I feel bad for her. I don't know her name, but man, you know, I really feel for her and her roommates and the rest of her senior class. I can only imagine not getting a senior graduation over this. Trust me, I wouldn't just be making a TikTok about it. I'd probably be protesting, counter-protesting or something like that. So anyway, pray for USC students and all these protests that are going on across the country. I hope everybody stays safe. And honestly, I really hope that these people just get off your high horse. Stop being so prideful. Stop being so bored. Half of this is boredom. Okay, they're bored. They don't have anything to be mad about. They have all their MacBooks. They have their Apple iPhones. They have their technology. They eat good food every single day. You know, there's no suffering that happens in America. There's nothing that makes us work. You know, like we're all just spoiled. And so, what happens when everybody's so spoiled? We get bored. Okay, we need something to complain about. We need something to fight against. You know. So we choose this. We choose stupid stuff like this to get mad about so that we are entertained. And I don't know why my generation does it. By the way, I don't even know why I said that. Because if you look at the arrests, there's been a whole bunch of arrests. Look at the mugshots. These people aren't students. Half of these people are not students, my friends. I'm going to be real with y'all. Like, I don't know. There's some little conspiracy stuff going on right here, but I don't know what's going on. But half of these guys are not students. But anyway, look into all that. It'll blow your mind. Look at these mugshots. Anyway, that'll be the video. Again, I feel bad for y'all, but it is what it is. It's still fun to laugh at when it comes to the left infighting. You love to see it. Anyway, praise God for that. Anyway, thank you guys for watching this video. I will see you guys on the next one. Again, if you guys want to support good values, support companies that love your values, that causes you can get behind, go to patreonmobile.com/herd. Use code herd for free activation. They have a 100% US-based customer service team that'll help you out. So anyway, thank you guys for watching. God bless and stay safe. Thank you guys so much for watching this video. Be sure to check me out on Instagram, TikTok, and X. And be sure to hit that follow button and that join button if you're here on Rumble. It'll take you over to our local channel where you can further support the show and get access to additional content. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and that like button. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you're listening on, give us a 5-star rating and share with your friends and family. Again, thank you guys so much, and God bless.